Oh, dearie dear.
I'm talking that much, or sometimes, you know, need to be on.
She's like me that yawns when you're talking that much.
Oh. Do you know I've got the ability to cut you off and make you sound daft whenever I want doing editing?
Really? You didn't hate day much, did you? Oh my god, here we go again.
Well, I've had a hard day.
Oh, aye, right, my heart bleeds. So yep. There you go.
See, your microphone, are you rubbing it against anything?
Rubbing it?
Aye, well. Now,
how's
Dave.
How's that? How's that?
That's better, aye.
Aye, it was rubbing, mate. I was doing plenty of rubbing.
I don't want to know.
And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.
Manchester, brace yourself. Rangers are coming.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the next episode of the iReady podcast. As ever, I'm your host Derek, and with me is my co-host Dave. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm very well, Derek. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. It doesn't feel like 2 weeks ago since we've done this.
I know, it's quite strange, eh? And what a fantastic 2 weeks it's been since we were recording. We've got some excellent results, and can't wait to talk about them.
Yeah, absolutely. Three games to talk about. All victories, some of them.
Yes.
Two of them outstanding. The third one, you know, just another great performance. So we'll get into that in a minute. Yep.
Yep.
Is that all the banter you've got for me?
Banter?
I wouldn't even call that banter, Dave. That was shocking.
I'm just excited and looking forward to talking about these three fantastic games that we've got coming up, Derek. There you go. I'm giddy with excitement.
Well, I hope it wasn't because of the touching yourself you were doing earlier on before we started recording.
As long as I was the touching cloth, that's the main thing.
And on that note, goodbye. Yes, we'll go down the tunnel now and onto the park. So the first game we've got to cover is Sunday the 3rd of November. It was a 3-0 win against Hearts at Hampden in the League Cup semi-final. Outstanding result, outstanding performance.
It certainly was, Derek, and dare I say, a monkey off our back getting into the Cup final, and we did it in style.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously going into the match with a wee bit trepidation given the fact that Hearts played well against us the last time and got a one each draw. Different kettle of fish this time though. We knew what we had to do, and as you said, the monkey off our back, the hoodoo of Hampden broken as well.
Exactly. That's what we were all looking forward to, Derek. First and foremost, we all said that at the start of the season, we want to get into cup finals to give ourselves a chance of winning it. And like I said, we did it in style, didn't we?
Yep. No Sadiq this time in the semi-final.
Exactly. So we actually had forwards that we could trust, shall we say.
Yes, so we lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Hellander, Barisic, Davis, Kamara, Jack, Kent, Ojo and Morelos. On the subs bench we had Fotheringham, Defoe, Flanagan, Aribo, Katic, Barker and Arfield. So really, the first 15 minutes, both teams kind of feeling each other out. We had the bulk of the possession and we're knocking it about well. Nothing much to write home about in the first 15 minutes, though. We were probably the better team, but no clear-cut chances. 16th minute, though, lovely piece of play with Jack playing a long ball to Tavernier on the right side of the box, who first time crosses it, trying to find Morelos, but the defender had nipped in just before Morelos could get contact. Really, if Morelos had got to it, then it was a certainty for it to be a goal right there.
Yep, yep.
18th minute, Ojo cuts inside, feeds the ball to Jack on the edge of the box, who takes it forward, creates space for himself, gets a shot off and making the keeper pull off a good save. Really good from Ojo there. We're starting to maybe see something what he was all about there.
Yes, aye.
Yep. 22nd minute, a lot of possession on the edge of the box, basically camped out on the edge of the box. Good play, working the ball to the right. A cross came in, knocked to the edge of the box, and Kamara has a shot, but it was blocked by the defender. Really unlucky, that one there.
Yep.
Just a minute later, lovely move with Jack on the right, feigns crossing, cuts inside, passes to Tavernier in the box, who shoots and forces the keeper to make a save out for the corner. And not a lot of clear-cut chances for the next kind of 20 minutes. We had, again, a bulk of the possession. On the 41st minute though, Kent gets the ball, drives forward 5 yards, cuts inside, unleashes a stinging shot, hits the outside of the post and out for a goal kick. Really unlucky that there from Kent.
Great play as well, Derek, and a fantastic shot. Really, really unfortunate for him, but we could just tell, I think a lot of us could just tell it was just only a matter of time before we found the net.
Yeah, we just, the last kind of 15 minutes, last 10-15 minutes of this half, we were just battering them really.
Yep.
44th minute, corner in from the right from Tavernier. It was a shot towards goal by Davis, two deflections and out for the corner. And that subsequent corner on the 45th minute, we got the goal with Hellander scoring. Corner came in, there was a header outside of the box by our player. Kent picked it up and passed it to Morelos on the right side of the box, who crosses it in. Hearts tried to play the offside trap, but Hellander was well aware of this, steps forward at the right time, gets the ball in space and puts it into the back of net. Really outstanding goal, and I think I said in the post-match as well, Hearts tried to do that against us last season as well, play this offside trap, and they just failed miserably, and once again, they done so again.
It was a clinical finish as well, Derek, for a guy for a centre-half. You know, as you say, he timed that perfectly. He's moved forward and, you know, the finish was fantastic. And what a great time to score, because, you know, Hearts were, as you say, at that stage, the last sort of 10 minutes of the first half, we were bombarding them. And Hearts were desperate to get in 0-0 at half-time. And that was, you know, that was an excellent time for us to score, because, you know, we just knew that Hearts really didn't have it in them to be, you know, to create a lot of chances themselves. You know, they were there for, you know, to defend the whole game and hopefully catch us on the break, but we knew that they would have to come out in the second half. So, no, absolutely fantastic going in 1-0 up at half time.
Yep, and as you said, they had to come out at half time, and I think their any resurgence lasted less than a minute, because on the 46th minute we scored and we went 2-0 up with none other than Morelos scoring. Kent on the edge of the box on the left feeds it to the on running Barisic, who plays a great cross in. Ojo gets a head flick which puts it on the Tavernier on the right, who crosses it in, and Morelos with a lovely heel flick into the back of net. Outstanding all round goal, but the wee flick from Morelos to put it in the back of net, just outstanding.
Sheer class, Derek, and that was it. I don't care what anybody says, it was game over at that stage, because there was no way that Hearts were going to score two goals after that. We knew it as well. An absolutely fantastic time again to score, because it settled. If there was any nerves there at all, which I don't think there was, but if there was anything niggling there, that just settled it for the team. And, you know, we were just in a total high at that point. Great start to the second half.
Yeah, obviously we have to mention this is was Hart's first game after giving Craig Levein the boot.
Yep.
So it was Austin McPhee in charge as well. So completely a different Hearts team as well. They seem to go into their shell, but I think that was largely how we played. We dictated how Hearts played ultimately, because we were up for that from minute one.
Yep.
51st minute, it was a corner for Hearts with a header just by the post. 57th minute, down the left-hand side, great cross into the far side to Jack by Barisic. Jack tries a shot on the half-volley, doesn't connect properly and bounces off the ground, but it was looping goal-bound and the keeper had to make a save and put it out of the corner. A bit of fortune, that one, but it was quite unlucky at the same time. It never went in.
Yep.
58th minute, Ojo down the right, tries to cross it in, doesn't get past the first defender, however rebounds out to Morelos in the box, and he rifles a shot into the side netting. And then though, he scored a second goal, Morelos, on the 62nd minute to make it 3-0. There was a throw-in on the left, Morelos heads it to Kent near the touchline, Morelos runs towards the box, Kent takes the ball forward, gets into the box, cuts it back to Morelos, who controls it with his first touch, and he blasts it into the net and with his second touch. All started really from Morelos, and just an outstanding, outrageous goal, to be honest, the way he flicked it.
He is just absolutely incredible at the moment, Derek, isn't he? He's just, he only has one thing on his mind, and that's scoring. And even when he's away out, he's starting a lot of the moves himself. and finishing them. He's just been absolutely sensational at the moment for us. We haven't had a striker like Alfredo Morelos in a very, very long time, Derek. He just seems to be getting better and better each week. His temperament has changed altogether as well. He's now, you know, so much more professional. I don't know if that is the, you know, having Jermaine Defoe in there, you know, training with him every day, but he just looks absolutely sensational at the moment, doesn't he? And that goal was just absolutely brilliant. It started and finished by him, and that was just to put the icing on the cake, wasn't it, to score the third goal. Absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, just, I mean, Morelos, obviously we've got a couple other games to talk about as well, where he does great work, but obviously there's a lot of comparisons, and folk were saying, oh, he's the best striker we've had since Jelovic, since Pozzo, mm-hmm. and all that.
Yep.
I think we're going back further, because they two players were, you know, they were great, but they never had the overall all-round game that Morelos does. I think you're going back to, I don't know, Marco Negri, in terms of how deadly he is in terms of a scorer. I mean, he scored, what was it, 30 goals before February, before March?
He did. I would go so far as to say, and I don't like to get carried away, Derek. I don't like to get carried away. But with the age that he is, he's a deadly finisher, but he's got so much more to his game as well. I know that Marco Negri, you know, scored a lot of goals for us as well, but I still would say that Morelos all-round play as well, because you wouldn't have seen, you know, Marco Negri didn't create a lot of chances as well, whereas that's what Morelos is doing just now.
You're going back to ultimately McCoist, aren't you?
And again, McCoist didn't do the running that he did. No. Again, it's hard. We've maybe never had a forward player like him before, Derek. Not that I know of. You know, you can look at players that I thought were absolutely sensational. Like we spoke about Mark Hatley last week. You've mentioned him, Ali McCoist. Maybe a fully fit Michael Moyes, could you say?
That's probably, you know,
before he got injured, because Moyes had a bit of everything, didn't he? He had magic, he had great finishing, he set people up. So maybe comparisons to when Michael Moyes first signed for Rangers, that's maybe what we're going for. But maybe Morelos is a wee bit more aggressive than what he is, and, you know, in his style of play. But certainly going, you know, back to a player of that standard, and the age that Morelos is as well, just now, you know, it's absolutely sensational. And, you know, we keep hearing the price tags all the time, the new Derek, all the time we keep hearing the price tags. And the thing that we've had thrown back in your face was, oh, he's only doing it against the wee teams in Scotland. You know, he's not doing it against the big teams, but I'm sure with the coming games, we'll get into that as well. But he's absolutely fantastic, and he's absolutely flying for us at the moment, and long may it continue.
Yes. So back into the game on the 65th.
A wee bit way late.
Just a wee bit. No wonder, though, with the way he's playing. On the 65th minute, Kent off and Aribo on. That was just kind of more preservation, I think.
Yes.
68th minute, Morelos had the ball in the back of the net with some lovely play, but he was miles offside, so we'll let him away with that one. He'd scored, he scored two.
Yep.
86th minute, Jack off, Arfield on. 81st minute, Ojo off, Defoe on. And the 91st minute, it was cleared off the Hearts line after the corner was floated in. Ball played towards goal, and their players hit it off the line. But certainly that's the way the game rounded out. 3-0, outstanding victory, and it sets up the final against Celtic on the 12th of December, I believe.
Yes, and, you know, for us, first and foremost, we're in the cup final, Derek. Second of all, a fantastic performance at Hampden as well. I can't remember the last time we had a good performance at Hampden, especially in a big game. So, I mean, even going back to when we knocked Celtic out of the Scottish Cup a few seasons ago, I don't think we played particularly well in that game, but either did they. You know, we won on penalties. That's probably the first time in a number of years that we've turned up at Hampden and we've played, you know, the team off the park and played really, really well. So, no, I was absolutely delighted, Derek, and I said it before the game, biggest game of the season so far, and we came through it with flying colours.
Yes, so hopefully we show that same intensity in the final, so we'll just need to wait and see. I mean, going into that final, it's a massive, massive game. I don't think anybody can underestimate the importance of this. Not just for the fact that it's silverware, not for the fact that it's Celtic, it's the fact that if we beat Celtic and we take that trophy off them, they've had utter dominance in every competition for at least the last 8 years, really, haven't they? So, certainly the last three. You know, a psychological advantage for the next, for the rest of the season, and that's the big thing that's coming out of it for me.
Derek, as I spoke, we did the last podcast, and the classic match that I did, if you can remember, was the League Cup final 1986. And the comparisons at the moment between that team and everything that happened, you know, and had been happening to Rangers. Rangers had been in the doldrums for years before that cup final. Celtic had been dominating Scottish football. And the comparisons between Steven Gerrard, Liverpool legend, coming and taking his first managerial job at Rangers, Graham Souness at that time coming, Liverpool legend, taking his first managerial job, and that was Souness's first piece of silverware, was a League Cup against Celtic in the final. So let's just hope and pray that history is going to repeat itself, and this is the start of something great for us in years to come, because this is, you know, it's in our hands now, Derek. It's in our hands. We go out there and, you know, really be up for it and win that first trophy. And that would be, just like you said, the psychological boost would be absolutely incredible for us. So, no, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a fantastic occasion. And here's hoping that we can do it. You know, if we show the same intensity that we did against Hearts, then we'll be in good stead.
Yep, absolutely. So we'll move now into the next game, which was just another incredible performance from the team. It was Thursday, the 7th of November. It was a 2-0 win at home against FC Porto in Game 4 of the Europa League Group G. Dave, one of my mates, texted me after hearing your post-match in this one, and he had thought you had just had a wee bit of fun with yourself just beforehand, because that's the way you sounded.
I was actually feeling, I'm not saying emotional, Derek, but just the whole, I think that result against Porto at Ibrox has shown me, because Derek, we've been, you can't help yourself but, you know, be a bit sceptical about Rangers considering everything that's happened, you know, in the last 6 years and the constant disappointment that we've had both off and on the field. And I think the reality that after that game, to me, to say, look, you've been worrying about the team a lot and this is what they've just done, they've just beat, I mean, let's be honest, Derek, one of the biggest teams out there, especially in this competition, you know, a phenomenal team. And, you know, it just hit me as I was doing the post-match how incredible a performance, how incredible a result it was, and it just a fantastic night for all our supporters. I'll let you get into the match report.
A day before the game, Rangers announced that they had released another batch of tickets. Later on that same day, a hoax online was produced saying that we are closing part of the ground for up to 10,000 seats due to the singing. No particulars or no charges or anything like that. It was all branded UEFA, had the badges of Rangers and all that kind of thing. Rangers fans liaison officer had to come out and state it was a hoax as well. I mean, the obsessed fans out there, they have no bounds, have they?
No, absolutely none, Derek. But we know that. We know that they'll try anything. It's inbred into them, this whole...
They're inbred. We all knew that, Dave. Come on.
this whole inferiority complex, Derek, is incredible, considering how far their team have been in front for, you know, considerable amount of years. That's why one trophy, Derek, this, if we go out and win that League Cup, that is going to, that's a huge blow to them. But as you say, but I'm not surprised by the lengths that they would go to try and, you know, either get us, you know, the fans wound up, or, you know, try to spread as much malicious bullshit as they possibly can. It really does go, you know, they show no bounds whatsoever.
No. So in terms of the team, we lined out McGregor, Tavernier, Hellander, Goldson, Barisic, Davis, Jack, Kamara, Barker, Morelos and Kent. On the subs bench, we had Fotheringham, Edmondson, Flanagan, Aribo, Arfield, Ojo and Defoe. Now, the one thing that comes across from these three games is we've been used to having four, five, six changes sometimes between games. I think there was only one change in this team and there was two changes in the next game as well. So we've had a fairly settled team for the last three or four games now. Yep. So. Mm-hmm. On the 7th minute, it was a short corner from Porto on the left. It was whipped in. Their attacker managed to get a shot off and cleared off the line by Kamara. So early doors, we knew it was going to be a tough fought game, but certainly that was one of the first things that we had to come against. But to be honest, that was the only clear-cut thing I think they've really had in the for the rest of the game. A couple other plays, but that's been about it. That was the closest they came. After that, for the next 18 minutes, I missed because of the stream going down. I try to get an actual stream when it's not RTV on a European night is a pain in the arse. So I struggled for a bit there. I meant to go back and watch, but I completely forgot, to be honest. But I think from what I heard, we played not bad, but not great either.
They were kind of sort of feeling each other out, Derek. Porto definitely had the bulk of the possession, but our back four were dealing with anything that was coming in. I think... In my opinion, it's probably the best performance that Goldson and Hellander have had together as a pairing in defence. Anything that was coming into there, Goldson was winning straight away. It was absolutely phenomenal. And Hellander was just sort of sweeping up just behind him if there was anything that got through. So, you know, apart from that one early chance that... that Kamara, did the goal line clearance. They were having a bulk of the possession, but not really getting anywhere with it. But it was a wee bit frustrating for us because they were very, very good at closing us down, Derek. They were, absolutely brilliant. We weren't getting, two and three passes strung together. We were getting dispossessed constantly. And that was the worrying thing inside the sort of first sort of 25 minutes for me. But as you say, looking back on it now, even although they were doing that, they didn't really fashion a lot of clear-cut chances against us, which is great for us as well. But then after that, once we had weathered that early storm, around about 30, 35 minutes, we were starting to come more and more into the game. And that's when I started feeling a wee bit better. We were getting Ryan Kent on the ball, which I'm sure you're about to get into as well. And he was starting to become, a nuisance for them. He was starting to look more and more dangerous, as that first half went on.
Yeah, I mean, it was quite strange. It was kind of almost like a carbon copy of the first game against them, where they had a lot of the play in the first half an hour, and then after, I think it was in the first game after they scored, we started to come out of our shell more, and we played, and fortunately it never taken a goal for us to get going this game.
Yeah.
But in the 27th minute, we had a shot blasted over the bar from outside the box after some good play. Ball just wouldn't sit right for a number of players there. 30th minute was a quick break up the park. A bit fortunate with the break of the ball. Kent going forward down the right. Kent tried to cross to Morelos in the middle of the box, but it was behind him, and the defender managed to get the ball clear. 31st minute, Barisic was given a yellow card. He clearly got the ball after sliding in. He did take the man, but absolutely nothing malicious in it at all, and it was just poor refereeing, I think, there.
Yeah, definitely, yep.
Probably the closest that Porto came was eventually ruled offside, but it was an outstanding save from McGregor after a free kick floated into our box from about 35 yards. Their attacker got his head to it from about 7 yards. It was going into the top left corner, but McGregor managed to pull it, an outrageous save, jumping one-handed save, and put it over the bar. He wasn't to know it was going to get ruled offside, so he still made the save anyway. Just that guy shows his class time and time again.
Yeah, no, it was a fantastic save, Derek. It was like absolutely out of this world. Actually, I think we're playing it down a wee bit by saying it was fantastic. It was a absolutely tremendous save, and as you say, at that point he didn't know that it was offside, so as far as he was concerned, he was keeping us still in the game. So no, absolutely brilliant.
Yep. 46th minute, Barker had a shot over the bar after a short corner was worked in. I think you've got a wee bit more commentary about that, because I was still struggling with a stream there. I looked back in that one, he should have done really better there.
Yes, he should at least have hit the target with that one, Derek. It was great play, and the ball's played right in front of him. All he had to do was sort of hit the target. Barker was pretty, I don't know if he was caught up in the moment or not, Derek. He wasn't at his best, in my opinion, in the first half. You know, he got caught a few times. I do like Barker, Derek. I think he's a great option for us to have, but he just he couldn't get going at all in the first half, really, and that was a great chance for us at that point.
Yep. So, at half time, I can't really be disappointed with that one. We're playing a great team at the end of the day,
yep.
But we've more than held our own at that point, and little did we know what was going to come.
Yes.
53rd minute, Kent with a shot wide after getting the ball on the right hand side. 60th minute, lovely play, working the ball from back to front, end. And then Kent getting the ball on the edge of the box on the left, facing away from the goal, has a lovely turn and shot, forcing a great near post save, yeah, by the keeper and out for the corner.
Great play, yep.
Yep. 63rd minute, Barisic free kick on the right, plays the ball into the far post. Goldson leaps up and gets his head to it, but it was just too high for him and he put it wide. A minute later, on the 64th minute, Barker came off and Arfield came on, and that was maybe the turning point of the game when, yeah, we really screwed the nut at that point. Barker, you know, he tried. He maybe never had his best game, but, you know, you've got to praise the guy. He done his job at the end of the day. And as I said, that was maybe the turning point. I don't know if it was anything specific Arfield done, or it was just there was a change in mentality of the team, or a change in the formation or something, but we screwed the nut then.
I think the difference with Arfield, with Barker, I think, is an impact player, Derek, whereas Arfield is he's a type of guy that would maybe take slightly, I'm not saying go ahead slower, but he would take his time and maybe more clinical with the pass, clinical, you know, with the way that he plays, whereas Barker is, you know, your old-fashioned tight winger, get the ball down in front of him, get there as fast as possible to the byline, whereas Arfield's not that type of player as well. He will bring players in, he will look to get the ball passed forward to forwards and things like that. So it was certainly a great move at that point by Gerrard to bring him on.
Yep. 66th minute, was a break down the right hand side by Porto, cross came in, it was shot in the half volley, a lot of the sting taken out of the ball, but it looked as if it was going in, and Goldson managed to clear it from about 2 yards, so certainly their best chance of the second half,
yeah.
But certainly defender in the right place at the right,
yep,
time. 2 minutes later, though, we outstandingly went 1-0 up with Morelos scoring. Did the right-hand side with Tavernier, who passed to Jack. Jack took the ball forward down the right more, cuts it back to Morelos on the edge of the box. A brilliant first touch to take the defender out, and a second touch shoots it into the bottom left-hand corner. Just an outrageous goal again from him.
Derek, as I say, I spoke about this goal on the post-match reaction that I did. What an absolutely incredible goal. The cross in to him was a good cross, but the way that it landed at his feet, he had to sort of flick the ball up for himself, turn and shoot on the half volley. And it wasn't, in the 6 yard box, it was much further out than that. And, you know, the power and the accuracy that he hit that ball was absolutely sensational. It really was. The guy has just got, you know, something for every occasion in front of goal, hasn't he? And that goal was absolutely sensational. It was incredible. And, you know, every time I look back, I go back and I see it, it's absolute wonder that he does. The fact that he turned as well, going back to what we're talking about, Michael Moyes, that was the sort of Michael Moyes turn, wasn't it? You know,
yeah.
He's back to goal, one touch, turn and shoot. But the fact that that was in the half volley as well, Derek, absolutely incredible goal for Rangers, incredible goal for him. And the place just went absolutely nuts, didn't it? It was just amazing.
And if the place went nuts on that goal, 4 minutes later, it was absolutely limbs everywhere on the 72nd minute when Davis put us 2-0 up. Ball down the left with Morelos, cuts it back to Davis on the edge of the box, controls it, beats the player, hits a shot, slightly deflection, but puts it into the bottom corner.
Yep.
And I put a tweet out saying, I think I woke my daughter up at that point because I heard her. I'm in the next room to her and I just let out a massive scream when that goal went in because it was brilliant.
It was great, and the timing as well, Derek. That took, if Porto thought they were coming back into it before, you know, at 1-0, they knew that there was no going back after that absolutely brilliant time. And Davis, who was outstanding, Derek, in this game, wasn't he? He was absolutely tremendous in midfield in this game. Great goal, delighted for him to score as well. Did take a slight nick, Derek, but you know, the shot was there with intent. He hit it at some pace as well, and you know, it was just absolutely brilliant. We knew at that point that we'd won the match, didn't we? It was tremendous. It really was.
Yep. So we played out the rest of the game. Kent came off in the 82nd minute, Aribo came on, and Morelos came off on the 84th minute, and Defoe came on, and that's how it rounded up. Just an outstanding result. And you know, it's nights like that we kind of maybe proof now that we are back in Europe. We are a force to be reckoned with. Made a lot of people stand up. I'll mention their results. Celtic winning away and Lazio putting them through after four games. You've got to hand it to them. That's, you know, outstanding result for them as well. And I think it's maybe, I would like to think anyway, that the English media are now sitting up and stopping, you know, disregarding Rangers and Celtic when it comes to results like that, and especially in Europe.
I watched the BT Sports roundup later on in the night, Derek, after that, to see all the goals from the Europa League that night, and they were talking to, they had their panel of players, and one player that was on there was Paul Ince, and they were talking about Rangers, and to be fair to Paul Ince, he was going on about how good that Rangers are playing at the moment and how far they've came. Now obviously the Steven Gerrard factor's there, they're going to talk more about Rangers because he's Steven Gerrard, because they, you know, he is a legend in English football. And the first thing that Paul Ince said when they were talking about Alfredo Morelos was, that's the player that Manchester United need at the moment. That was, you know, his actual words there. So if a guy like Paul Ince, you know, is saying that you know, Morelos is the type of player that could go down and play for Man United, then, you know, in this current market, how much is he going to be worth, Derek? Let's be honest.
I mean, there's the thing, Man United are crying out, somebody like Man United are crying out for a striker like that, a deadly striker who's got everything in his game. So, you know, we're talking,
how much?
Yeah.
Right now. You know, me and you spoke last year, and you know, they were banding about 10-12 million. There's absolutely no way that I would accept that for Alfredo Morelos this season. Absolutely no way, because he isn't just scoring against, you know, teams in Scotland. He's proven it time and time again in the Europa League, and he's now you know, constantly being picked for his national team as well, Derek. So he's worth it at the moment. I would say at least double that at the moment. I mean, do you think it's inevitable, Derek, that he's going to be away next season? Do you think he'll be gone?
I think there comes a point where if we get a solid offer and we need to accept it, anything above, you know, it's kind of hard to say because of, you know, he's coming from Scotland, and obviously the money that Celtic get for their players is largely down to the fact that they've played in Europe. We're now playing in Europe, we're playing well in Europe, and we've got players that are scoring in Europe. So certainly, I know this might sound pie in the sky, £25 million plus for Morelos.
I would say, Derek, I think I agree with you 100%. Going on from last season, you know, I think everybody thought, is he going to be as good this season as he was last season? He's actually better this season than he was last season. And, you know, I could see him smashing. If he keeps going the way he is, he'll smash Marco Negri's goal-scoring tally when he was playing for Rangers in the one season. He'll absolutely smash that. And he's just a complete terror, isn't he? And that's, you know, against top class sides now. I mean, is that him scored in almost every round of the Europa League for us now?
I think he scored 11 or 12, I think.
Aye, absolutely. I mean, that's a fantastic achievement, Derek. Absolutely fantastic. And, you know, I just hope and pray that he keeps going. If he is going to leave, and I think everybody thinks eventually he will go, but I just hope that he goes out all guns blazing and he's got a load of trophies that he's won with us, because, you know, the way that he's playing the new, he is our superstar, isn't he? And he's just fantastic.
I think a lot of these players, and if he's getting advice properly, he's got to think about his career in terms of, you know, the money's going to be there at some point, but does he want to stay here and actually win trophies? Or does he want to go to, you know, unless you're talking about your I'm trying to think. Unless you're going to go to Man City or Liverpool or your Champions League, regular Champions League teams, because you can't count Chelsea now. They've got a transfer ban. Man United and Arsenal are pish. You know, Leicester, they're doing good again this year. So, and you've obviously got a manager there who knows what he's, what Morelos is capable of. So unless you're going to go to one of the ultimate top teams, you are not going to win any trophies in England, are you? So,
yeah, no, that's right.
So when players look back in their career, they can sit an amount of cash, but how many of them can actually say we've won trophies? There's not a lot of them.
Well, you've got to look at another striker that we've got, Derek and Jermaine Defoe. I mean, I think Defoe's got one. I mean, for a guy, his ability, his experience, especially in the English game, I think he's maybe got one FA Cup winner's medal, something like that. So, I mean, you know, I would like to think that he would be saying to him as well, look, I'm here to try and win some trophies. You need to stay as well. But only time will tell. We just need to appreciate the guy at the moment, Derek, that we've got. And we do have a superstar in our team at the moment.
Yeah. League Cup in 2007-2008 with Tottenham. That's what Defoe's got. That's the only trophy he's got. Yeah. For a guy who is one of the Premiership's best scorers ever, you know.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Anyway, with this not trying to turn into the Morelos show here.
I know.
Basically, after the game as well, it's transpired that Porto have suspended four of the players, as after the game they went out partying in Glasgow till 5 a.m. Absolute boys, eh?
We're drinking the Vickies. I don't even know if Vickies is still there or not.
That's the one that burnt down, is it not?
Oh, is it? All right, okay.
Anyway, into the next game, Sunday the 10th of November, away to Livingston, and we won 2-0. We lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Hellander, Barisic, Jack, Kamara, Aribo, Kent, Morelos and Arfield. On the subs bench, we had Fotheringham, Defoe, Davis, Ojo, Flanagan, Katic and Stewart. Now, this always had the possibility of being a banana skin.
And I think everybody was worried about that, Derek, considering how well that we'd played on Thursday and, you know, the exertions, you know, how that would, you know, play out. And possibly, just like you say, that this could be a banana skin because, you know, we've not had a lot of luck at Livingston before. And we've had a few tricky games. We knew it was going to be a physical game. And I think we all had that wee fear at one stage, didn't we?
I think so, but I don't think there was anybody else than us that was going to score in the game, to be honest.
Yep.
You know, it was really just all us. Anyway, there was a minute silence for Remembrance Sunday before the kick-off, which was, as ever, impeccably observed by both teams.
As ever, yes.
Mm-hmm. 6 minute, Jack got the ball from 30 yards out, cut it towards the middle, has a shot, deflected back off the defender, was going into the post of the stamp, but the keeper pulled off a great dive and save it out for the corner. Unlucky that there. 21st minute, it was a penalty claim for us when Morelos was bundled off the ball. It was not given. The player did get partial of the ball, and I don't think it was as clear as to the referee or linesman as it what it could have been.
Yeah.
I think the player maybe just got enough, or the referee was unsighted, so he never gave it. 30th minute, lots of possession, knocking about well. Opens up for Kent, who it's a 25-yard shot just wide of the right post. And then 2 minutes later, we went 1-0 up with Aribo scoring. Now, obviously, Aribo been out for a wee bit after the last time he played there, which... picked up that bad head knock. So good. It was a good retribution, that one there.
Certainly was. Yep.
It was a sweeping move. Arfield passes forward to Morelos on the right, who then cuts it back inside to Arfield in the middle, who then passes to Aribo in space on the left and hits a first time shot past the keeper. Brilliant from Morelos and Arfield, and then a great shot from Aribo as well.
Superb goal, Derek. Absolutely brilliant, clinical, high, past the goalkeeper, hit it at pace. As you say, the build-up play before that was, you know, superb again. Great movement, you know, by Alfredo Morelos. We really need to stop talking about him. Great movement. But again, like I said about Scott Arfield, it's maybe not happened for Arfield in front of goals, but when he does come on, he is creating chances. He is seeing opportunities, Derek. And it was him that opened the play up for Aribo. And like I said, fantastic finish and well-deserved 1-0 lead.
Yep. On the 39th minute, it was great play down the left by Barisic, getting the past the defender, crosses it in, ends up at Morelos, who has a shot but blocked by the defender, comes back out to Kent on the right-hand side of the box, who cuts it back and passes to Kamara, who has a first-time play shot that was bending, and an incredible save by the keeper out for the corner. Really unlucky there, Kamara coming onto a game as well.
I thought it was heading right into the top corner, Derek, the way he hit it. It had a fantastic strike for him, and as you say, a tremendous save by the goalkeeper that, you know, really should have been the second goal.
Yep. So into half time, can't be really unhappy with that. 1-0, only team in it, and it really continued. Because none other than the man we're going to rename this pod, the Morelos podcast.
I think we should do.
On the 51st minute, he put us 2-0 ahead. Barisic on the left plays a long ball down the right wing for Morelos, gets the ball, gets into the box, cuts inside slightly, hits a shot at a very tight angle into the bottom far post corner. Another stunning goal for him to finish, and just how he's seen that from that angle. Suggestions that he might have been offside, I think. He might have been, maybe by a half a foot, but referee never flagged it, so one of our ones we finally get.
But the fact he was so close to the defender as well, Derek, but how on earth he can have the defender all over him on the byline like that and still manage to get a low shot away, and... You know, he had no right scoring that goal, Derek, because the goalkeeper had narrowed the angle, so that it was just so clinical, right into that bottom corner with a bit of curl on it as well. It was as if it was like a really sort of hard curved pass right into the bottom corner. He knew exactly where he was putting the ball. Absolutely sensational again. Yet another, you know, different type of goal that he scored for us. Absolutely on fire, like we've said. And, you know, again, that goal coming a great time for us, really killing the game. Because, as you said before, Livingston never looked like scoring, did they? And that was us. And, you know, it took all the pressure off us as well. So, you know, absolutely brilliant.
Yep. 56th minute, Livingston had a shot on half volley on the edge of the box, but it was right at McGregor and didn't trouble him at all. 57th minute, Kent off and Ojo on. He did pick up a bit of a dead leg, so hopefully it was more of a precaution.
Aye.
76th minute, Ojo with a header just wide after a lot of possession, ending in the ball on the right and the ball being crossed in deep. Never went to anything, though. 80th to 82nd minute, RTV went down, but in that time, Morelos did come off and Defoe came on.
Yep.
85th minute, Barisic had a shot in the box on the left, goes under the keeper, bounces off the ground, up and hits the inside of the far post. Just a bit of unluckiness that kept that ball out there.
Yep.
And 86th minute, Aribo off and Stewart on. So that's how the game finished. As I said, only one team in it. Great performance from the team and great result.
You know, absolutely brilliant, Derek. It really was. And there you go. Three potentially very difficult games for us. Three separate competitions. You know, three potential banana skins, like what you said. And, you know, we've won all three games. We've scored 7 goals and no conceded any. That's fantastic. That is absolutely fantastic, Derek. Totally delighted. And, you know, the players must be on a total high. And going into the international break also, it's a huge thing for us to get those victories, because, you know, anything, if we'd have dropped any points in that game, we would have been saying, shit, we've got, you know, two weeks before we're playing again because of the international break. So it was great to have that, keep the pressure up with Celtic, you know, at the top of the table. I'm delighted, Derek. I know you are, and the vast majority of Rangers fans at this moment in time are as well, so...
Yep. So in the league, we are played 12, won 10, drawn 1, lost 1, scored 35, conceded 7, goal difference plus 28, and we're on 31 points. We're sitting in second on the same points as Celtic. They've got a plus 1 better goal difference because they've scored 1 more goal than us, and apparently that's because it was an OG as well. So,
is that right?
You know,
okay.
That's the kind of fine margins we're talking about this year.
Yes.
And it's with the way we're playing, it is going to go down to the wire. It could unbelievably come down to the Old Firm game, so we've got to be very wary of them.
Exactly, yes. No, yep. We have Derek going into this season. There are certain things that I said that we really need to do to get the monkey off our back. We've done one already, which is getting to the final at Hampden, which, you know, is any man's guess with the way that both teams are playing. Both teams are playing really well. And the next thing that I said to myself that we really need to do is we need to win at Parkhead. That I said that to myself as well, and I'm not talking about for, you know, getting the 3 points and stuff like that, just for the psychological boost that it would give us to go to Parkhead and win. That would be a huge thing for us as well, and we're certainly capable of it, Derek. We've got the squad to do it and the players to do it, so here's just hoping that the belief's still there and we keep going. But at this moment in time, it's, you know, we're in dreamland at the moment. It's absolutely brilliant, and long may it continue.
Yes, just in terms of the gap between second and third, it's currently sitting at 7 points. It's Aberdeen mm-hmm. that are in third, and we've got a game in hand, so basically yep. you know, a potential 10 points ahead yeah. after like 12, 13 games yep. shows you how far ahead we are this
exactly.
year.
Exactly.
In the Europa League, we've played 4, won 2, drawn 1, lost 1, scored 5, conceded 3, goal difference plus 2, and we're on 7 points. 7 points as well. Young Boys are on that as well. They beat us, so they've got a better head-to-head. Feyenoord and Porto are both on 4. We've got a better head-to-head than Porto because we beat them, and we've beaten Feyenoord as well yeah. already. So we could, in the next game, which we'll get onto in a minute, the next game is against away and Feyenoord. If we win that game, we are pretty much guaranteed to get through. I think there is a possibility that all teams, that is another team that could end up in 10 points as well.
If Young Boys were to be beaten by Porto,
yeah,
they would go on to 7 points. Porto would stay on 7 points.
And we would be on 10.
We would be on 10.
But even if we lost the next game and Porto won their game, we would have a better head-to-head than Porto yeah. because... So, ultimately, we win, we're through. However, yep. there is a possibility, depending on what happens with the other result, if we draw against Feyenoord, then we could go through in the next game. So, all to play for, all in our hands. We can only throw
Definitely.
It away now. In Rangers teams of the past in Europe, I mean, we've been in this position before after four yep. games.
Just, you took the words right out my mouth, so I'm not counting my chips.
But there's something different about this team where yeah. it's almost like a never-say-die attitude. So I've got full faith in the players to do it. We know what yep. we've got to do.
And I know that I've slavered on about them enough, Derek, but we have got Alfredo Morelos in our team. Do you know what I mean? So it's, you know, I think we could go almost anywhere in the, you know, in European football and have a chance of him scoring a goal. So, you know, I'm looking forward to the next game. On to the next game, which is against Feyenoord away. Going slightly off topic, but did you see the banner that the Feyenoord fans put out before the Young Boys game?
Yes.
For anybody that didn't see it, it was fantastic. Obviously, like we said on the last pod, our former head coach Dick Advocaat came out of retirement and is now the head coach of Feyenoord, and the Feyenoord supporters put on a fantastic big banner which read, "Our Dick doesn't like Young Boys." I could say something inappropriate about a certain team, but I'm not going to lower myself to that standard there.
Yes. So that game we're playing against them is Thursday the 28th of November. It's away yep. As well, so there's could be a potential for trouble as well, so I hope everybody stays safe. It's a 17:55 kickoff. Got a wee bit ahead of ourselves though, because before that we are playing on Sunday the 24th of November away to Hamilton. That's the next game we're playing. That's a 12:15 mm-hmm. kickoff. After the Feyenoord game, Sunday the 1st of December at home to Hearts. So that's a 1500 kickoff. I'm fed up of playing Hearts already this season. And then after that is Wednesday the 4th of December away to Aberdeen in the Premiership. That's a 1945 kickoff. So I think you and I will be back probably after the Feyenoord game or maybe yeah. after the Hearts game. So
yep.
So that rounds that section out now, and we will now go on to the classic match.
And there it is, the final whistle's gone. Rangers have won the European Cup Winners' Cup.
So, Dave, you've got an Old Firm game from 2005 to talk about, haven't you?
I do. Going back to like what I just said there a couple of minutes ago, Derek, I think it is imperative that we need to get a victory at Parkhead against Celtic this season. I really do. And this is one of the reasons that I picked this game, because at this stage, when I go back to this date, Celtic had went 11 games undefeated at Parkhead against Rangers, and that was a huge part of their dominance at that stage. And obviously this is the season where we broke that chain under Alec McLeish. You know, it was the Helicopter Sunday league title this year, and this was a game played a huge part, because both teams, like they are at the moment, were locked at the top of the league on the same amount of points. So Rangers go in there, Celtic fully confident, obviously, at Celtic Park. So the Rangers team on that occasion, Ronald Vatterus in goals, Alan Hutton, Kyriakos, Marvin Andrews and Michael Ball in defence. Midfield for Rangers was the returning Barry Ferguson, just came back, we'd re-signed him. Fernando Rixon playing alongside him in the centre. Thomas Buffel on the right-hand side and Gregory Vignal on the left-hand side of midfield. Up front, Dado Purzo and Nacho Novo. On the bench for Rangers, Alan McGregor, Hamed Namuche, Chris Buck, Bob Malcolm, Stephen Thompson and Peter Lovenkranz. The Celtic team that day, Rab Douglas, Jackie McNamara, Bobo Baldé, Varga, Larsson, Petrov, Neil Lennon, Chris Sutton, Thompson, John Hartson and their on loan star, Craig Bellamy, who they brought in to basically tie the league up for them, or so they thought. Now, in the first few minutes of the game, Celtic were putting us under a lot of pressure. In the fourth minute, Craig Bellamy takes on Marvin Andrews, managed to just get past him. He hits a low strike, but it's well saved by Ronald Vatterus. 10 minutes after that, Celtic with another chance where John Hartson dispossesses Kyriakos and plays Bellamy through, 1-1 with Vatterus, but he pulls off a fantastic block to deny him. Still 0-0 at that point. Rangers didn't really have a lot in this game, doing a lot of defending. A few minutes after that, another great save for Ronald Vatterus, this time to pull off another reaction save when John Hartson managed to get a foot in for a through ball. The only real threat at this point for Rangers was Dado Purzo. We were able to, you know, find him. He was all over both wings and in the middle, great at holding the ball up, Purzo, and then suddenly turning around and then bursting away at pace, a real handful from Celtic. He kept swapping over to the left hand side, like I said, and then coming back into the middle. He was our main out ball at that point, and the first sort of real chance came no long after that, where we got a corner by Dado Purzo on the left. There was a cross put over to the right hand side to Fernando Rixon, but he headed it just out. That was our sort of main chance. But then again, not much longer after that, we won another corner. Barry Ferguson puts it into the box. Kyriakos comes powering in. He heads it just over the bar. So that was probably the clearest chance that we had at that point. Celtic, though, unable to overpower us at this stage, and this was the Marvin Andrews effect that we've spoken about before. Celtic had all these big players and they were used to sort of barging folk at the road, putting in high balls. Big Marv wasn't the type of player that you could do that to. He really was playing fantastic, even he sort of burst the pace as well. He was never known for being the fastest, but in this game he looked really athletic, really, really fast, and Celtic couldn't really do much after him. 39th minute, a sort of half chance for Rangers, playing the ball from Fernando Rixon to the edge of the box to Barry Ferguson and then to Alan Hutton, who strikes for a long range just over the bar. Really unlucky there, but that's how the half played out. At that point, Celtic certainly had the better chances than what Rangers had, but we were growing more and more into the game and we were making them sort of have to pull off long shots. That's what we were resorting them to at the end. Into the second half, though, an early yellow card for Bobo Baldé, a late tackle on Fernando Rixon, a really, really bad one out in the wing. Thankfully, Rixon got up. And Rixon and Vignal, at this point in the second half, had swapped wings. So Thomas Buffel, he was brought into the centre of the park to play in front of Barry Ferguson. He puts Fernando Rixon out on the left-hand side and Gregory Vignal, who's left-footed to the, you know, the right-hand side. Nacho Novo, then the 49th minute, was played through on the right wing, twists one way, then another, a low cross into the centre of the box to to Dado Purso, and it was just a last ditch clearance. It only goes as far as Gregory Vignal at the edge of the box. He hits the ball, shoots just wide. So this was obviously a tactic that Alec McLeish had asked Vignal, try and get more into the centre to have a pop with your left foot on, you know, on the right wing or to the right hand side of the goal. 53rd minute, Nacho Novo again breaks the offside trap, a through ball from Barry Ferguson, cuts the ball back to Gregory Vignal again, who hits another shot just over the bar. So there's twice in the space of 5 minutes that Vignal has found space and had a shot. And then it just came 18 minutes after that, 71st minute, and it was Vignal that broke the deadlock for Rangers. It had been coming.
Room for a cross. Takes the help offered by Ferguson. Varga makes the call to Lennon. Rickson back to Vignal. It's a great effort by Vignal. It's gone through Rob Douglas and Rangers have the lead.
Yeah, that's what we've just said. One goalkeeper makes a save that bounces in front of him. The other one gets a bad break. Rob Douglas hands in his head. Vignal absolutely delighted. Chances, we said chances are coming from both teams. Rangers have taken that chance.
It's first goal for Rangers.
Long ball up to Thomas Bufell, who headed the ball to the left wing out to Dado Purso. He plays the ball inside to Barry Ferguson, then on to Alan Hutton up the right wing. He plays it back to Barry Ferguson into the box. It was headed clear, only as far as Fernando Rickson in the edge of the box. He turns round, sees Vignal, plays it back to Vignal, who controls his shot from way out and hits a thunderous shot towards Rob Douglas. We all thought that Rob Douglas was going to gather this, but Douglas crouches down. The ball was hit so much pace that actually slipped through his hand, ended up right in the top corner of the net. Absolutely sensational stuff. The Rangers fans gone daft. Vignal gone daft. As I say, this is the third chance that Vignal had. Third time lucky. The ball ended up in the back of the net. A bit fortunate, but we really weren't caring at that point. 1-0 to Rangers. Absolutely superb. So obviously Celtic were going to be applying some pressure and they were trying to bombard us in the box with crosses. Big Marvin Andrews, absolutely superb, winning absolutely everything in there. And then we didn't have to wait too much longer till Rangers wrapped up the points.
Rangers working extremely hard here. That's a fine tackle by Ferguson to win possession back. Ferguson wants the ball kept by Rangers. Through the middle it goes, therefore Novo, a slip there by Lawson, it's goal number two, and it'll stand all right. Rangers have scored again.
They all stem from the hard work, Barry Ferguson, Fernando Rickson in the middle of the midfield area, and Celtic just fast asleep, three marking one at the back there, and that man, Nacho Novo, takes the opportunity, three players, ball watching. But what a great finish that is. Few and far between chances for Novo this afternoon. But that is a clinical finish.
It was Barry Ferguson who actually won the ball in his own half. He played the ball to Fernando Rickson. Rickson looks up and sees Novo making a run through the centre and he hits a fantastic chip ball up to the edge of the box to Nacho Novo. He slips his man and dinks a fantastic ball over the top of Rob Douglas into the net. 2-0 to Rangers. Absolutely fantastic. And it's that iconic image in Nacho Novo, the ball in the net, racing towards the Rangers fans, kissing the badge. Absolutely brilliant stuff. Celtic resorting to every dirty trick in the book. Wee kicks out, diving here, pushing there, looking for a reaction in the Rangers players. Thankfully, they never got the reaction that they were looking for. And then in the last minute of the game, Dado Purso wins the ball in the Celtic half, plays it through to Nacho Novo. He races through in the right-hand side, only to the goalkeeper to beat, but hits his shot wide. Really should have scored there to make it 3-0. But the game finished full time, Rangers won, and like I said, that's the first victory at Celtic Park that we've had in 11 visits, so absolutely crucial, and that put Rangers 3 points ahead of Celtic at that stage of the league, Derek, and we never looked back, And again, it's things like that. It's these victories at Celtic Park that we, you know, we really need to get for the psychological boost. So that was the reason that I picked that game. Some great memories. Fantastic seeing Nacho Novo scoring that goal again and running to the Rangers fans. Absolutely sensational. What was your memories of that game, Derek?
When I watched it back, I vaguely remember the Vigneault thing. I've got a really bad memory when it comes to a lot of games, to be honest. So you know what I'm like. But certainly watching the quick highlights, I've got the full game coverage as well there, which I never watched all the way through. But you know, obviously great times, and here's hoping we do it again.
It was a crucial victory for us, Derek. It was a time where we had struggled to bring players, and we had to sell a lot of our stars. Certainly bringing Barry Ferguson back, you know, a quality player, played a huge part. But it was a great highlight for that season as well. And, you know, it really did stand us in good stead for the rest of the season. So that's what I'm hoping and praying for this season for us as well. So we'll just have to wait and see.
Yes, absolutely. So Dave will be back with another classic match on the next podcast. You're getting good at these, Dave, aren't you?
Do you think so?
I think so.
It's only took me seven years to get Dave to grips with it.
I hope when you're doing them, you're adding them onto the end of your list as well.
I am, yes. I've actually got a list. I've got a list on my iPad and my notes section of all the classic matches. I thought I better, because I made a bit of a fan of myself before than I'd be doing a game that we'd already covered.
Yes, so we'll go now into the news. So a few bits and pieces to cover here in the news, and we've probably got to start with probably the biggest one of the since we've done the last podcast, is our annual accounts have been issued.
Right.
So it's not great, it's not bad, it's certainly going in the right direction. However, the media would have you believing otherwise, wouldn't you?
Derek, that's it. We're doomed again, according to the media. That's it. We're completely fucked. We're going to have to sell all our star players just to, you know, to see us through to the end of the season. And basically, it's Armageddon, isn't it?
Yeah. So basically, the long and short of it is the turnover is up by 20.6 million. There was a share issue totaling 18.2 million with 16.6 million pounds worth of loans converted into shares, making us virtually debt free. 30 million plus has been invested in the squad over the last 3 years, which is an incredible amount for us.
Yep.
The European participation revenue, 14.3 million. So you look at the way Morelos has been playing, you look at the money that's came into the club since we've been doing the European games over the last 2 years, or certainly this year, that shows you how valuable the European game is. So
exactly.
Anybody who thinks that the European games are just a distraction need to think again on that one.
Yep. And again, you've got to think, Derek, touch wood, if we do make it through past the group stages, the amount of money that we will get as well. It's not going to be Champions League standard, but it's going to be a hell of a lot of money that we really need. So it's very important, isn't it?
Especially if we keep winning games as well. You obviously get more for winning as well. So this is what the media have hung on, is the fact that we've made a loss of £11.3 million in the last year. However, what they failed to put in is that last year's loss was £14.3 million. So we've actually carved back £3 million over the last year of that loss. Mm-hmm. What they also failed to see is, I think there was a £5 million worth of investment in Ibrox and Murray Park. There was also one-off costs of litigation fees as well. Mm-hmm. So our operating expenses have went up by about, I think it's 20 million here. It was it's 58.2 million, whereas last year it was 38.9. But again, as I said, there was a lot of one-off expenses which are not counted in financial fair play, which before the Orcs, in fact, the Orcs already started on that one. Oh, they can't be meeting financial fair play. That's because there was one-off costs as well, which doesn't get counted in that. So absolutely no danger in that whatsoever. So the long and short of it is, It's not sustainable long term. We all know that. We are still not operating at full capacity in terms of the retail deal yet. We're still hamstrung with that. There was 3.3, I think, or £3.1 million income from that. However, that doesn't tell the full story in terms of the income from shirt sales and all that kind of thing, I don't think. As I said, there's one-off costs, which they are one-off costs. There's a lot of paying off of players, I think, as well, we've had over the last couple of seasons, especially this season. So it's not all doom and gloom, but we do know it's not sustainable long term. Yeah. And I think that you've got to remember is that they were coming in, the three bears, the shareholders, were all coming in as effectively it was a new business. All new businesses make losses for the first, 3-4 years until they're up to full operating capacity, when that's when they start making the profit and all the main expenditures out the way. So, if we keep going the way we're going, I have no doubt that we will be turning a profit in the very short future.
Yes, no, and it's true what you said, Derek. It was up at 14 million, it's at 11 million. I mean, that's... It is still a lot of money, but it's shown you that the things are getting better. It's going to take a while, but the fact that that's happened, it is getting better, and the playing staff is, dramatically improved as well and increased. That's really good progress, isn't it, compared to where we were before? But like you said, the press and all the haters out there can only... concentrate on the negative things there, but I think when we look at the bigger picture, it is eventually going to I hope sort itself out.
Yeah, I think what you've got to remember as well is with the three bears and Dave King putting money in to effectively keep the club afloat. They're not going to make any money back on that. Yes, their loans are getting converted to shares, and it's the equivalent share price and all that, blah blah blah. But the only way they're going to get their money back on that is if they sell the shares for the exact same price they bought them for. And it's not going to happen for this Vizier, but if they want to jump out there now, they need to find a buyer for that. And if it needs to get split up into weir sections like they've done with Mike Ashley's shares, then that's another story. But the chances are they're not going to get anywhere near the money back, if they pull out. So, they're doing it for the love of the club, and I think that's what you've got to remember, because if it wasn't for them, we would be Newcastle right now, or potentially worse. Whereas if everything stripped, then we'd be nothing. So, so that's certainly something to look out for. The AGM will be coming out. I think that was announced. I can't remember what date. It's normally in either the end of November, the start of December anyway. So we'll look forward to that. Next thing here is we've formed a new soccer schools partnership with Southeast Asia based football consultancy firm Harkus Consultancy Group. So we've been signing up a lot of these soccer schools all over the world, which is obviously going to be benefiting the club long term.
Yep, definitely. It's good stuff.
One thing I want to query as well, the Kilmarnock manager won Manager of the Month this month for, I think it was October. Now, in October, Kilmarnock and Celtic played four, they won three and lost one. Rangers played four, won three and drew one.
Yep.
So how are they, not that, it's bothering me that much, but not that I'm sure it's bothering, Gerard much either, but how did they tot up this? I thought it was on a points-based system, depending on how well your club done.
I honestly have no idea, Derek, but you've just, you've read the stats out there. We've done better than both of these clubs in the last month, but... it's Scottish football, isn't it, Derek? It's
and then
makes sense.
No, and then it looks as if then it's based on a subjective thing, which that's once again falls into the category of perceived bias. So, but as I said, it's no water off my back. It'll be certainly no water. They'll not be losing any sleep over at the Rangers staff either. So, just another one for the SPFL to work out.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're clearly got money worries, as the Celtic fans seem to think, because we're heading off to Dubai during the winter break from the 6th to the 12th of January, and we'll be at the NES or NAS Sports Complex, which is an elite training environment which Liverpool, Man U, Juve and AC Milan have previously used. So, good to see you there. I'm probably sure we'll have a few bounce games and a bit of a relaxing time, and a good, I hope we don't do too much like we've done in the last winter break, because they all said it was quite hard going, so we don't want to burn ourselves out like we might have done. We've also partnered up with Emirates Airline and Emirates Holiday to offer discount on flights to season ticket holders who wish to go on holiday to Dubai as well, so that's good to see.
Okay.
I don't know how much that extends to, but certainly worthwhile if you're thinking about it and you're a season ticket holder. Same day as we played Livingston, the youth team played Celtic at Broadwood, and in the second round of the Youth Cup, and we hammered them 5-0. So we're the holders of that competition. I think we beat Celtic in the final last year, and you know, it's good to see that we're keeping up. And obviously, traditionally, Celtic have kind of dominated the youth department over the last, obviously not from last year, but over the last maybe 7-8 years, and we're finally getting our grip back on that one. Bit of sad news here, ex-nine in a row hero David Hagan, who is battling motor neurons disease, has been hospitalised and can no longer speak. Just a shocking state of affairs again for another one of our players to get this abomination of a disease, and he's only 45 as well. I mean, it's just tragic.
I know, it's I can remember him clearly playing for us, Derek, and it's just another one. It is just like you said, it's totally tragic, and you know, he's went downhill very quickly, I think, this time, and you know, we've just got to, you know, our thoughts are with him and his family at the moment as he battles this, but it's absolutely horrendous. And you know, another member of the Rangers family, you know, struck down with this horrible thing, and it's you can't say much more, Derek. It is. It's just, it's tragic. Really is.
Next thing is, Rangers have been fined £7,800 for entering an illegal third-party agreement with Chelsea over the sale of Billy Gilmour. I think it's what Chelsea basically have been given the transfer ban for. Not just that transfer, but several of them. And they're ultimately the ones that are responsible for the Billy Gilmour transfer. We got £550,000 for him, so the club may have been aware that this fine was maybe coming due to the implications of the way they done the deal, and they were maybe happy to take the hit on it because we're getting more money than usual, rather than the usual development fee. Still, us involved in litigation once again, it doesn't really paint us in a bad light, but ultimately it's a very naive person who doesn't think that certain under-the-counter deals get done as well.
Yeah, I know. It's I didn't quite know the ins and outs of that deal before, Derek, but the one thing that struck me is that if they're paying that amount of money for a player of that age, they must be a fantastic player. And but by all accounts, he's playing really well down there, and he's been in the first team a couple of times as well. So
yep. So you're waiting to see how he gets on, but certainly all positive there, and always keep an eye out for him there. Next thing, Club 1872 members voted overwhelmingly to increase their shareholding to become the fourth largest shareholder in Rangers. So that's £500,000 they've put directly into the club. So
excellent.
Certainly a good one there. Next one here, and the last piece of Rangers news I've got is a Rangers fan arrested after the Kilmarnock game at the start of the season posted a picture of a letter sent to him by the club stating that he's banned indefinitely from all Rangers games and his season ticket has been forfeited without any compensation as well, and that's due to him being arrested after the game as well, and it appears to be because he ran onto the park as well. The person in question has to contact the club after his trial to get his season ticket reinstated if he's found not guilty. It's really poor from the club on this one for me, or rather more specifically, it's really poor from the security officer because it was titled from him. I think this is where the fans some fans are quite correct, and the club need to show a wee bit more support to the fans. Yes, he's run onto the park. Yes, you know, it's an offence to do so. It's charged under a breach of peace. Yes, it's not the biggest offence. He should have been more aware of the issues and implications. I don't think he was a silly wee laddie. You know, he was certainly a grown man. He should have known these things. But at the end of the day, if there's a trial still to come, he's pled not guilty, I think, from what I'm gathering. The club need to surely go in the air of innocent until proven guilty.
Aye, yeah. I'm quite surprised that they've took this stance so early on in it, Derek. So, because if he is found not guilty, it is going to look pretty daft at their part. By all means, if he's found guilty, then the club can say, oh, well, we were quite right to do that with him. But I'm a bit surprised that they've done it so early on, eh?
I mean, it harks back until... I know that Rangers have to take a hard stance on some elements. And, you know, we've praised the club before, even though people have criticised them for it in terms of the singing and stuff like that. When the club overall is getting hammered for stuff and we're losing revenue and other fans are affected, and fair enough. But for one individual to run onto the park, yeah, Rangers will, you know, I think it'll be ultimately Kilmarnock get the fine for that, for it, because it was in their stadium.
Yeah.
It's just really poor from the way the club stand on that one. And I think Heart and Hand have said it a few times in their podcast as well, with the Blue Order, when they first started up, they basically got banned by the security officer. I don't know if it's the same one, from all those years ago, but they got banned for apparently singing songs, and it turns out that the people in question weren't even in the stadium at the time. So I hope it's not a knee-jerk reaction from the club and just them stating that, making out as if they have to be putting a hard line out there.
Yeah.
I just felt that they could have handled this one a lot differently.
Yes, definitely.
Yep. So, Christian Mum's rant about a filthy children's book makes it a bestseller.
Okay.
A dad's potty training book has skyrocketed to the top of Amazon's best-selling list after a furious Christian mum accused of brainwashing kids with filth.
Okay.
Simon Harris was speechless when he received the hate-filled review of his book Little Budgie Done a Fudgie from a reader called Marjorie on Sunday.
Oh, brilliant. Right, here you go.
The pissed-off parent claims Simon should be ashamed of himself after discovering that fudgy had another meaning relating to a sex act, and claims she demanded a refund from the online retail giant. Now, Dave, do you have any idea what a fudgy is?
Derek, it seems right up your street.
Excuse me?
Well, Derek, I'm talking through experience of speaking to you with things like this. In the last time me and you had a conversation like this, I believe you called it the Spider-Man.
No, it's not that.
Right, enlighten me.
It is. Now, this is on Urban Dictionary. Now, there's a lot of different meanings for this, but I'm guessing...
You better watch where you're searching.
A fudgy is to give a blowjob directly after anal sex with shit on the dick. Compose yourself, Dave.
For fuck's sake. Surely not.
I mean, I want to know, I had to look that up, so how does this Christian mum know all about that?
Derek, please tell me that you didn't look that up on the computer, please.
Oh, I've done it on my computer here, aye.
Your name's going to come up in some sort of strange, deprived, wanted list somewhere. That is absolutely vile. Beyond vile.
As I said, I want to know how she knows about this, so...
Fudgy.
The dad of three claims the word fudgy is simply one that rhymes with budgie and is a word for poo that made his autistic son laugh when he was tackling potty training.
That I'm no joking. That my mind is blown, Derek. Just my mind, though.
Just
my mind is blown.
I'm not going to go into that there.
Oh my God. I mean, this goes back, Derek, to you with the what was the other thing for years ago when you froze, son, remember?
Oh, space talking.
Oh my God, that is absolutely vital. Oh dear.
There's a reason why we don't have sponsors on this show.
Oh my God, there are some fucking strange people out there, that's all I can say.
I don't know where to go with that, to be honest. Certainly not for a fudgy.
They could have called it a careless whisper. Oh, that's absolutely disgusting.
So on that note, we will end the podcast there.
Okay.
So as ever, if you want to check us out, you can go to our website at iReadyPodcast.wordpress.com, and there you can find the whole gambit of social media sites, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, and iTunes. So Dave and I will probably not be back for a good few weeks again, which is no change from the norm there. Probably after either the Feyenoord game or maybe after the Hearts game. Certainly one of us should be back after each of these games for the post-match pod as well. So Dave, any last words for tonight's show?
Derek, I'm just at this moment in time, I'm delighted with the way the team's playing. I'm delighted with the results. And, if we'd have went back to this time last season and said you're going to, be joint top with Celtic, only one goal separating you, you're going to be in the cup final, and you're sitting joint top in the Europa League group stages with a great chance of going through, we would have probably have said, no, you're fucking on, Sahane. I don't think we would have thought we would have been this successful this season. And we are. And when you look at some of the players, the likes of Ryan Kent, who's still not 100% fit for him to be coming back at full pace as well. The defence is looking solid at the moment, playing really well. Things are really on a high for us, aren't they? And we just want it to continue. We want that consistency to keep going. And it's great at the moment. I'm delighted with the way things are. And like I've said before, long may it continue.
Absolutely, yes. So, thanks for listening and goodbye.
We'll be back soon, folks. Take care. Bye-bye.
And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.
Manchester, brace yourself.